Welcome back to the deep dive. This time we are diving into something that I think everyone can relate to on some level. Figuring out working and dating after a divorce. It's like hitting the reset button on your life, All new rules, new landscape.
For sure.
And you're doing it all while still processing a pretty major life change. So we have this blog post that someone shared with us called Reignition, Navigating Work and Love After Divorce by the Mindful Modern
Oh,
Mistress.
yeah.
Have you seen this one?
I have, yeah. I really like this blogger.
Yeah, me too. She promises to help us kind of make sense of all of this stuff.
Yeah, and it's not like your typical get back out there kind of advice. It goes a little deeper. It draws some really interesting parallels, actually, between job hunting and dating, which is not something I had thought of before.
I know. I didn't either at first. But it got me thinking about how divorce really forces you to confront all these assumptions people have about you.
Yeah, that's so true.
And then, the assumptions that you have about yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's like, whoa, this is a lot.
Yeah, and it's not just like emotional baggage, right? It's like what the blog calls societal baggage,
Oh, yeah.
which is like a whole other layer on top of everything else.
So, okay, let's break this down a little bit. At first glance, dating and job hunting
Yeah,
seem totally different.
totally.
But the more I thought about it and the more I read this blog, I was like, she is really onto something here. So it's like both of them, you're kind of presenting yourself, trying to figure out if there's a good fit, and then negotiating what you need and expect from this whole situation.
It's so true. You know, and then you layer that on top of the divorce thing, and it's like, well, now there's like this extra layer of, well, let's just think about it. At work, you know, employers might see a gap in your resume and be like,
Oh, what's going on here?
ooh, what's that about? Or think, oh, maybe she's going to be too emotional.
Yeah, we don't want to deal with that.
Or, you know, in dating, I mean, we've all heard those stereotypes about divorced people being damaged goods.
Ugh, I hate that term.
I know, it's awful.
But it is something that people worry about, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like that other people are going to see them as somehow less than because of the divorce.
Exactly. And it's almost like you're starting from behind, you know?
Yeah, it's like you're fighting an uphill battle right out of the gate.
Exactly. It's a great way to put it. And the thing is, and I think this is really important, sometimes we start to believe those negative messages ourselves. Like we internalize that stuff. And that can really impact how we approach both work and relationships.
So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
It is totally. If you think you're not worthy or good enough or whatever, then you might act in ways that confirm that belief.
That's a great point. So that brings us to this idea that the blogger talks about owning your story. She says that you have to own your story and project confidence, especially when it comes to work, right? And focus on the skills and the experience that you're bringing to the table.
Yeah, regardless of anything
Yeah,
else.
regardless of any resume gaps or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to dating, she's like, other people's biases are their problem, not yours.
Yes.
Easier said than done, though,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. Much easier said than done.
How do you actually flip that switch in your mind
Yeah.
and stop those negative thoughts from totally sabotaging you?
Right. Well, you know, it's not easy, but the blog talks about using mindfulness as a tool. And what they mean by that is like by being present and aware of your thoughts and feelings, you can start to detach a little bit from those negative messages. It's not about ignoring them, right? It's about like noticing them and acknowledging them, but not letting them control how you behave.
So instead of being ruled by fear or insecurity, you can make a conscious choice. Okay, that makes sense. But how realistic is it for someone who's just been through a divorce to suddenly be like, oh, I'm going to be this mindfulness guru?
I know. It's not about like, you know, achieving some perfect state of mindfulness. It's more about incorporating these like small practices into your daily life. So even just like a few minutes of meditation each day can help you just become more aware of those thoughts and feelings. And really the key is just to like start small and be patient.
Start small and be patient. You know what? As we're talking about this, it reminds me of a friend of mine. She went through a divorce a few years ago, and she said one of the hardest things was she felt like she lost her voice.
Oh, interesting.
Like she didn't know how to express her needs or set boundaries anymore. Which I guess kind of brings us to another big idea that this blogger talks about, the power of boundaries.
Yes, huge. After a divorce, I mean, it is so crucial to reestablish those boundaries.
Uh-huh.
Both in your personal life
right.
and your professional life.
Makes sense.
I think divorce often involves this like blurring of lines.
Okay.
You lose sight of your own individual identity.
Yeah,
you know?
That makes sense.
And you can just get swept up in other people's needs.
Right.
So reestablishing those boundaries is really about reclaiming that sense of self.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, your time, your energy, defining what you will and will not accept.
Yeah. Yeah, and the blog actually has some really concrete advice about setting boundaries both at work and in dating. So, like, for example, at work, she talks about setting those clear time boundaries.
Yes, especially if you're co-parenting.
Yeah, right.
That's huge. Like, you have to be upfront with your employer about your availability.
Yeah.
You know, let them know, hey, I'm committed to my job, but I've also got other responsibilities outside of work.
Right.
You know, I can't be on call 24/7.
Right. And it's not just about time management. She also emphasizes, like, being clear about your professional goals, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you looking for stability, a new challenge,
right.
something in between? Like, knowing what you want helps you avoid situations that are just not a good fit.
Absolutely. And equally important, I would say, is pay attention to those red flags.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like, if a potential employer is already kind of pushing those boundaries early on.
Oh, like in the interview process?
Yeah, yeah. Like not respecting your time or your needs.
Okay.
That's a pretty clear sign that it might not be the best environment for you.
Yeah. It's like you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you.
Absolutely. You are
looking for a workplace that values you as a person.
Yeah.
Not just for like your skills. You
know. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when it comes to dating, you know, she really stresses those emotional boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
Like be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And your dates. About what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's casual, serious, something in between.
Right, right.
Don't feel pressured to conform to anyone else's timeline.
Yeah, or expectations. It's about being true to yourself and your needs.
Yes. Which I think can be so challenging after a divorce.
Yeah, because you're feeling
vulnerable.
Vulnerable, unsure of yourself.
Yeah.
All that.
Totally. And just like with work, it's so important to set those boundaries early.
Yeah.
If someone's pushing those emotional boundaries, making you feel uncomfortable or pressured, that's a red flag.
Big red flag. So whether it's work or dating, it sounds like it's all about knowing your worth.
Yes.
Setting clear boundaries and being selective about who you let into your life.
Absolutely.
Which I guess is a good segue into the next thing that this blogger talks about.
Okay.
Redefining success after divorce.
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
She's like, it's not about landing the perfect job or partner overnight.
Right.
It's about building a life that reflects your values and brings you joy.
I love that. Yeah, it's funny that, you know, after a big life change, like a divorce.
Yeah.
Those old ideas about success.
Right.
They kind of go out the window.
Yeah. You know, totally.
They're not bound by those expectations anymore like you had before.
Right.
You get to kind of decide what really matters.
It's like you get to rewrite the rules.
Yes.
And that is so liberating, you know?
Yes, it is. It is.
Instead of chasing someone else's definition of success,
right.
you get to create your own.
Yeah.
That's unique to you.
That's tailored to what you need.
Yeah. But what does that actually look like? Like,
right.
what are some examples of this redefined success?
Well, okay, so in the workplace, it might not be about, like, climbing the corporate ladder anymore.
Okay.
Or earning a six-figure salary.
You gotcha.
It could be about, like, finding a job that offers flexibility.
Okay.
So you can be there for your kids.
Right.
Or maybe a role that lets you reignite some passion you had that you had to put on hold.
Yeah, like during your marriage or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe it's just about finding a workplace where you feel valued.
Yeah.
And appreciated.
Where you feel good.
Right. Yeah.
So success can be about feeling fulfilled.
Yes.
Not just like financially successful.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's about aligning your work with like your values.
Yes.
Your priorities.
And your priorities and who you are now.
Yes.
And in dating,
right.
success might not look like, you know, rushing into another marriage or finding the one right away.
Correct.
It could be about like enjoying the journey.
Oh, I like that.
You know, of meeting new people.
Yeah.
And learning about yourself along the way.
So instead of focusing on the destination.
Yes.
You're like savoring the experience.
You got it.
It takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You're more open to possibilities.
Right.
Maybe success in dating means like forming genuine connections.
Okay.
Whether or not they lead to a long-term relationship.
Right.
Or maybe it's about rediscovering your own sense of self
uh-huh.
and what you really want in a partner.
I love that. And it's like that saying, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn.
Yes.
Every experience, even if it doesn't work out.
Right.
You learn something.
You learn something about yourself.
Yeah.
About what you're looking for.
Exactly.
It's about shifting your focus from external validation
okay.
to internal satisfaction.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. What matters is how you feel about your life.
Okay.
About your work, your relationships, all of it.
We've covered a lot.
We have.
Let's do a quick recap of the main takeaways.
Okay.
Especially for our listener, you know, who's going through all of this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Let's distill this down.
Yeah, I was taking notes as we were talking, and some things really stood out to me.
Okay, great.
So first and foremost, remember your worth.
Yes.
Divorce doesn't diminish your value at all.
It doesn't. In fact, it often highlights your resilience.
Right.
And strength.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you've been through. You've come out the other side.
That's so true.
That's something to be proud of.
Sometimes we forget to acknowledge our own strength, you know?
We do, especially after something as challenging as divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
Be patient with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's finding a new job, a new relationship.
Yeah.
Growth takes time.
It does.
Don't rush the process. Don't compare yourself to others.
Right.
Everyone's journey is different.
Yeah, so true.
There's no timeline for healing and moving forward.
You know, when I was reading this blog post, the thing that really stood out to me was the part about communication.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds so basic.
I know.
But it's so crucial.
It is.
Especially after a divorce, when you might be hesitant to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, you're right. Open and honest communication is key.
Yeah, in both work and dating.
Absolutely. Be upfront about your needs, about your boundaries.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking up for yourself, advocating for what you deserve.
Right.
And not settling for less.
Right. Right. And it also means being a good listener, too, right?
Yes.
Trying to understand where other people are coming from.
Yeah. It's about finding that balance between being assertive and being respectful.
Yes. And the blog also emphasizes mindfulness.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to managing those, you know, negative thoughts.
Right. All those things that can come up.
What can pop up after a divorce. Yeah.
Exactly. Practicing mindfulness, even in small ways, can help you stay present.
Yeah.
Aware of your thoughts and feelings.
So you can make conscious choices.
Exactly. Rather than reacting out of fear or insecurity.
It's like having a pause button for your mind.
It is. It is.
You can step back, observe without judgment, and choose how you want to respond.
Beautifully said.
So mindfulness can be a powerful tool.
It really can.
For navigating the ups and downs
yes.
of post-divorce life. It helps you stay grounded.
Yeah.
And focused on what matters.
Then connected to yourself.
Yes. And finally, trust your gut.
Yes.
Pay attention to those red flags, both at work and in dating. If something feels off,
yeah,
it probably is.
It probably is.
Don't ignore those warning signs or try to convince yourself that things will get better.
Right. Sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away.
Yeah.
From a situation that's not serving you.
It takes courage, though.
It does.
Especially when you're feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
And maybe a little desperate to find a new job or a new relationship.
I know. But remember, you are worthy of respect.
Yes.
You deserve to be in situations where you feel safe.
Yeah.
Valued.
Appreciated.
And appreciated, yes.
So much wisdom.
I know, right?
Packed into this blog post. And, you know, as we're talking about all of this, I'm realizing there's a parallel here to this concept of reignition itself.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's not just about, like, re-entering the workforce or the dating world.
Yeah.
It's about reigniting your own inner flame.
That's beautiful.
That sense of passion and purpose that might have, like, dimmed a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
During the divorce.
It's about rediscovering who you are.
Yes.
And what you want out of life.
And sometimes that requires letting go.
Oh, absolutely.
Of old beliefs
yeah.
and patterns that no longer serve you.
It's like clearing out the debris
yeah.
to make space for something new to grow.
Love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's like a controlled burn.
Yeah.
You're intentionally letting go of what's not working.
Yes.
So you can create a more fertile ground for your future.
Exactly. And just like with a controlled burn.
Okay.
It can be a little messy and uncomfortable at times.
There might be some smoke and flames.
Right, exactly.
But ultimately, it's a process of renewal,
transformation. Exactly.
It's about creating space for new growth.
Yeah.
New possibilities, new love.
And you have the power to choose what you want to cultivate in that space.
No, I like that.
You get to decide what kind of life you want to build,
yeah,
what kind of work you want to do, yeah, what kind of relationships you want to have.
That's so empowering.
It is.
It's like she says in the blog post, you've already proven your strength by going through a divorce.
Right.
Now it's time to show the world what you're capable of.
Exactly. It's time to let your light shine.
And speaking of letting your light shine,
okay,
this blog post ends with a line that really stuck with me.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
She says, don't be afraid to light the match that will reignite your flame to light your way or burn the bridges that need not be left standing.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
It's such a strong image.
It is.
It speaks to the courage it takes to, like, embrace change and move forward. And sometimes letting go is just as important as, you know, holding on.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to burn those bridges.
Yeah.
To create a clear path forward.
To, like, make space for the new stuff.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
I want to leave our listener with a question to ponder.
Okay.
What part of your life feels ready to be reignited?
Oh, that's good. What needs to be burned away to make space for it?
Ooh.
What old beliefs, what limiting patterns, what toxic relationships are holding you back from stepping fully into your power and creating the life you really want?
Those are some tough questions.
They are.
But I think asking them is like a powerful first step.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like shining a light,
yeah,
on those things that have been lurking in the shadows, holding you back. And once you see them clearly,
yeah,
you can start to release them.
Absolutely. And remember, you don't have to do this alone.
That's so important.
There are resources available, therapists, support groups, coaches, people who can help you navigate this.
And there's a whole community of people who understand what you're going through.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like you're creating a new support system.
Yes.
One that's aligned with the person you're becoming.
Exactly. And as you start to shed those old beliefs,
yeah,
those old patterns, you make space for new possibilities, new relationships, new experiences.
Yeah.
You might even surprise yourself with what you're capable of.
I love that. What I love about this whole idea of reignition is it's not just about bouncing back. It's about transforming yourself.
Yes.
Becoming an even stronger, more resilient,
the more authentic version of yourself.
Yes. More authentic version of yourself.
It's about reclaiming your narrative.
Oh, I like that.
And writing a new story for yourself.
One that's filled with hope and joy and purpose. Reclaiming your narrative, that's such a powerful image.
It is.
It reminds us that we have the power to choose how we move forward.
We do.
From difficult experiences, we can let them define us.
Right.
Or we can use them as fuel for growth and transformation.
It's a choice.
It is, isn't it? And the beautiful thing is, no matter what's happened in the past, you always have the power to choose a different path.
Yes.
To create a different future.
A brighter future.
So to our listener, I hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought, a new perspective.
Some inspiration.
And maybe even a little bit of hope as you navigate this new chapter in your life.
You got this.
Remember, you are not alone. You have the strength and resilience to create a future that is even brighter than your past.
And you have the power to reignite your flame and light up the world.
Beautifully said. That's it for this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, remember to keep diving deep, keep exploring, and keep growing.